Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing. I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. Today has been a really hectic day. First off, before I introduce this fucking awesome guest we got on today, shout out to my boy Will Mosley. We're finna have a number one, probably by the time me and Miss Conway get done recording in just a minute. So if you haven't already, go download Gone for Good Now by Will Mosley. He got a golden ticket on Sunday night for American Idol, and super proud of you, bud. This lady I was told about probably towards the end of last year. I tried to get her on the show then, but she's been traveling the entire damn globe. She looks like she's killing it, having a great time. I don't really know about her podcast. We're going to find out about that in a minute, but she had one at one point in time, but I'd like to introduce y'all to Miss Conway. How are you doing, darling?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for such a sweet intro. Yeah. The podcast thing is a little up in the air right now. So
that's funny that somebody like you, who's just a damn sweetheart, that somehow you get a violation and I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, very random to just get an email from Spotify that your podcast just deleted forever for, like, I don't know what reason. So yeah, so I may have a podcast, I may not. It was called Higher Conversations. It was very PG and self-healthy, but I mean, you might be able to find me or you might not. I don't know. I'm not sure what's happening.
Well, either way, the rest of your social media is there. What's that so they can go look you up?
So you can find me at Cassie E. Conway. So it's C-A-S-I-E E Conway on Instagram and on TikTok. So you can find me there. You can find all my videos. You can see all my traveling, all my hotels I stay at, all the fun stuff I do. So you can find me there.
At one point in time, did you live in Nashville? Because I'm still trying to figure out how I got told about you.
Yes. So I lived during COVID. I had switched from being a celebrity hairdresser. So I was a celebrity hairdresser in California. Okay. And then during COVID, obviously, COVID was very weird in California and it stayed very weird for a long time. So I got into being a private jet broker. And so I went to Nashville, and Nashville was super normal and it was so fun because no one was on tour. So I got into the music industry really quickly and just networked. And I was like, this is awesome. Then I'd come back to California, I'd be like, what is going on here? You guys are living in crazy land. So I ended up having my house here in California. So I live in Newport Beach. And so I have my beach house here. And then I rented a luxury apartment in Nashville. So that was like my like fun time. So I like go out there and like go out, dress crazy. And then I would like have to come back here to like cuckoo land for like so long. So I actually lived in Nashville for about 3 years.
I always love
it. So that does make sense that why you know.
Well, I always love when I hear that somebody got out of California during COVID. The rest of the world, like I live in South Georgia, and our world wasn't really turned upside down that much. Like, what was the craziest thing that was going on out there during that time for you?
Dude, as a hairdresser, like, we were the last people that could work. And I was like, I mean, if you know about being an entrepreneur, talk about your whole industry just being shut down. Like,
yeah, no shit.
And so it was like doing backdoor hair. People were covering up the windows with paper and opening the salon. You had to go in the back door of the salon. I ended up, my salon never reopened. So I got, which is even crazier. So prior to COVID, I would fly anywhere in the world every month for a week to a different country by myself. And so I literally got flown out of Spain right as COVID was shutting down. So I was in LAX, like, being like, what the fuck is going on? Like, during COVID, like, it was crazy. And then my salon never reopened. And so I ended up just turning my guest room of my house at that time into a hair salon. So I was doing like super backdoor hair, and I was sitting on so much cash because I was like, you can't take credit card. I mean, it was just so wild. So I had so much cash that I was like, and you're not going anywhere. So I was like, what do I do with all this? Like,
okay, quick question. I don't know what a regular haircut would cost. Like, obviously, I'm bald headed. I don't know what a, like, an expensive hair. What do you charge for hair? Like, you said a celebrity hairdresser. Like, what's a normal day for you, money wise, for hair?
I mean, it kind of ranges. I mean, obviously, I specialize in extensions and blonding.
Yeah.
So that's really expensive tickets. I mean, that's like maybe $2,000.
What the?
For someone.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah. So, and like just a female haircut's $150 for me.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Yeah, man, so. I'd go to Supercuts in a heartbeat. I'm sure.
Yeah, but you get a much better experience with me. Hello, charismatic over here.
Oh, I'm sure
the conversation is better. I'm like a therapist. I mean, it's great.
Oh, obviously. It's just, I'm a cheap bastard. Like 100% cheap. Like, if my old lady was like, hey, I need to go get my hair cut, will you pay for it? But oh yeah, just let me know when you get done. I'll send you the money. If she was to send me like, hey, $2,000, I would lose my mind, dude.
Yeah, but look at how hot she is. I mean, you got to pay for the hotness. Like, come on. Yeah. There's like, I think that guys, like, this is the whole thing. You want a hot chick, right? I put a lot of effort in. Like, it is expensive to maintain this. I got to go to the gym. I got to go to Pilates. You think Pilates is cheap? No. My nails are expensive. Yeah, my hair is expensive. Like, you want someone that's hot. Well, we're expensive. So,
well, this is where I'll kind of disagree with you. I get your concept. But like, I'm kind of old school to where, like, I don't like the Botox. I don't like the lip filler. I don't care if you're in the gym all the time. Like, I'm under the impression, like, that whoever I end up with, like, I'm going to grow old with. Like, I'm not fixing to do hardly any of that shit. Obviously, look at me right now, look like trash. But like, I'm not going to do any of that shit. I really don't care whether you do or not. And I know most women are just doing it for like self-gratification, like just to make yourself feel better. You're not doing it because a man or anything like that. But I think the majority of us men are like, if she looks good, that's cool. But like, I'm a big personality guy. Like, you got to be able to make me laugh and entertain me. And there's a lot of women, you clearly wouldn't be this way because you have a personality. There's a lot of women that just rely on that. And it gets kind of tricky to where, like, and men are too. There's a bunch of muscled up assholes that are one big muscle that have no personality, that are lame. And I get why, like, people want to look good. I don't think it's everything. I don't think, like, if you told me I had to pick between looks or personality, I'm picking personality.
Yeah. I look at it as this, because I've traveled so much. I look at it as, when you go to the airport, you see a very big cross section of the entire world, right? If you can't manage, like, I see older people and they can barely get through the airport. I'm like, dude, if I'm going to grow old with you, I don't want you to be like decrepit. You know, like, I want you to, like, I want us to be able to be like functional and healthy, and fitness and being healthy is a part of that, like, in aging well. Yeah. And I want you to be able to get my bags from the overhead bin. You know, like, I don't want you to be like hobbling and like in a wheelchair getting on the plane when you, like, you could be fully functional just if you put put a little bit more effort in when you were younger to be healthier. That's my whole theory.
I'm looking at
like 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Like, are we going to be broken? Like, I want to be able to still travel and do stuff. Like, if we can't travel because you can't get off the couch, then we have a lifestyle problem.
Yeah, I guess everybody's got a different way with that, because like I am, there's a guy, his name's David Allen Coe, and he's got something that I quote all the time. And it's, he says, when you walk past my body and I'm in the casket, I don't want anybody to be like, oh, damn, he looks good. He looks like he's asleep. He says, when you walk past my casket, I want everybody to be like, damn, that dude is dead. There's not an ounce of life left in him. And with me, I guess you would, if you were to go by your standards.
I don't know how that's good.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I want my gas tank to be on E. At my last days, like, I don't want to have any life left in me. I want to get all the living I can out of me. And your way probably is a good mix of that. My way in my head, my way is like, you're just going to look like shit when you get older anyway. Like, you're 36 now, Josh. Just, you know, keep pushing. You're doing all right for 36. You could be worse. And then, like, I don't know how old you are, but I see other 36-year-olds or even 40-year-olds, and they look so much better than me, like just healthier. And I'm like, I really ain't that bad on my body. I'm really fucking up here. Maybe I do need to do some shit you're talking about.
Dude, my grandma is 86 years old, and my dad made a bet with her years ago. Like, and she's like one of those like feisty, you know, like you can't tell me what to do type women. And he's like, I bet you can't do one push-up. She does 25 on her toes push-ups every morning.
Shit.
She's 86. Ooh. I can only do like 12.
I think we did this like during Christmas. I don't remember. Oh, it was when we was doing our toy drive. Somebody bet us that they would take care of a family, one of the families we sponsor, if I could do 25 push-ups. And I was like, I got this shit. Don't worry. Like, I used to be in really good shape. And I was like, I can knock out 25. About died. I'm talking about shaking.
Did you make it to 25?
I did 25.
How sore were you the next day?
Oh, my shoulders have arthritis already. Yeah, like, oh, it's not good. Like, I hurt sleeping wrong now, dude. Like, I'm just now getting to where, like, I just found out my testosterone's low. And some other stuff. So, like, I'm getting into, like,
are you going to do the replacement therapy?
I think we're going to do the pellets and see how the pellets go.
Dude, my guy friends have said that it is literally life-changing for them. They were like wondering why they felt so depressed, lethargic, like they were going to the gym but weren't seeing any results. Just now they like feel completely transformed with it. Yeah. Like they said, it's a game changer.
Yeah. We started off with the shots. The first shot they gave me, I'm not trying to be crude here, but 30 minutes after getting that first shot, all I wanted to do was fuck or fight everything around me. Like, it was, and I ain't never been a person who's had an unhealthy sex drive, but like, I've never been like the most sexual person either. Like, I'm very vanilla as it fucking is, but that shit made me, it like made me feel 18 again. It was ridiculous. I can only imagine when we start these pellets here in the next couple of days, what it's going to be like.
Well, congratulations on taking your health as a priority, you know, and even talking about it, because I think more people should talk about it. I mean, our food doesn't even have that much nutritional value in it as it used to back in the day. So like, we have to supplement these things. So like, when people are like, we didn't used to have to do that, it's like, well, the dirt had more nutrients in it. And so the food we ate was like more nutrient dense. Like, we're having to do more stuff, but I think that's great to optimize your health, because that's something that's going to benefit your daughter down the road. Yeah. You know, like, it's going to benefit you down the road, and it's going to benefit other people. So like, keep talking about it, because I think more people should share about that kind of stuff.
Well, like, growing up, I was very athletic, played sports all the way up till I was about 20, very good shape. Had my daughter when I was 24. I went from being like an on average between 200 and 210 to, when Gracie was born, when I was 24, by the time I was 25 or 26, I was about 330 pounds. Like, I just quit doing everything, was this lazy dad, fucking nothing. Then probably about 17 or 18, I started losing weight, tried to get real healthy again, got down about 215, was super happy with that. But now I hover around like 230. And like you feel so bad when you let yourself go. And I fluctuate now pretty a lot. And you know when something's off. Like I knew with my testosterone that something was off. And I try to tell men all the time, like, hey, look, I know that you think if you get ED or your testosterone's low or whatever, like there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. They're not going to make fun of you. They're not going to give you shit. They're going to be like, hey, this is what happens. Like, this is probably the cause of why it happened. And this is what it is now. And I know for me and my doctor, like we always laugh and cut up, but I'm a very open person to where I make the awkward shit in my life a joke anyway. Like it's my defense mechanism. So most men that I talk to, I start off being like, once again, I know we don't know each other, so I don't want to be crude towards you. But I'm like, look, I didn't used to get as excited before I started working on my health a little bit more. And now it's like, damn, the wind blows. I'm a young man again. So guys, if you ever need any other reason why to get your test checked or anything else, I promise you, you're going to feel like your old self. And it does so much for you. But people would think it's taboo to talk about for some reason.
No. And the thing is like from a woman's perspective, I want a man that's masculine and is taking care of his health. Like I won't date someone that isn't doing that, isn't proactive because at the end of the day, you're doing it for you, you know? And if you take care of yourself, I know that you put yourself as a priority, which means you'll put me as a priority because it's down the road that's going to affect me as well. So if you don't take care of your health, it's like, well, what's the point of investing in this person if they don't give a fuck about themselves? Yeah. Like, it's going to negatively affect me in the end because you're not going to take care of these things. And it's like, and as a woman, you want a man to find you desirable and like want to have sex with you and like, you know, be attracted to you. And if someone's just like, oh, like depressed, it's like, yeah, that's dude. A fucking bummer to be around. Like, sorry, like, I don't care how much I love you. Like, I want to go live. Yeah. Well, and if you're choosing not to live, like, okay, like let's live to the life to the fullest. And sometimes you got to go get a prescription to make that happen.
Yeah. And then like, it's not just the prescriptions, but I'm sure you do this too. Like you got to just find lifestyle changes, better way to live, like natural shit. But once you get to a point, everything kind of does come back naturally to you. I mean, you might have to be a little dependent on stuff for a little while, but you know, I would imagine even I looked at some stuff of you, just scrolling through all your stuff or whatever. I know that it looks like you recently lost some weight and you post about it.
I lost over 30 pounds.
You were a 10 though with 30 pounds on you. Like, like it's still, I'm not the biggest fan of like petite women, but you're not very petite. You look athletic. But even
well,
like,
I'm 5'3", so I am very petite. So my pictures make me look a little bit taller than I am, but I'm a tiny human being. So 30 pounds it was over 30 pounds that I lost. Yeah. Going back to it, like I was doing all the healthy things. I was eating healthy, I was working out every day. But if you don't work on your mindset, because a lot of this stuff comes down to your mind. Like Bruce Lipton has a book called Biology of Belief. And it basically says like a lot of your DNA is not controlled by your genetics. It's controlled by your brain and what you think. Like if you think that you're going to be fat, you're going to be fat. If you're miserable and you're not taking proactive choices around your body, like your body's going to hold on to things. Like, and so I realized through traveling, because I lost the weight very quickly, like just, I mean, within like a couple of months, like really, and I was working on it, but it really wasn't really working on it. I started doing less things that were boosting my cortisol. I was traveling every 3 to 2 weeks, and that's a shit ton of like stress on your body.
Yeah.
And then doing these high intensity workouts, boxing all the time. Like I was realizing I was just like ramping up all the cortisol levels. And when your cortisol levels are really high, your body holds on to things. It doesn't feel safe. And so I knew that I was like packing on all this weight because I wasn't feeling safe in my body or in my environment. And so when I finally like went to Thailand and was like traveling for 6 weeks and just like traveling to all these different countries, I was able to just like be in a receiving state instead of like this high intensity, like go, go, go. Like I got to go from this to this to this and go meditate. And like all like I have to knock off all these things. And none of that's relaxing. You know, I'm checking all the boxes of health, but like none of it is relaxing. And so when I finally was able to just kind of like sit and be able to hear myself and my body and like listen to it, that it's like, wow, I was just like really in a state of just feeling unsafe in my own body. And my cortisol levels were so high. And so when I started doing workouts that were more like yoga, Pilates, low intensity, and I mean, you're focused, but or weightlifting, but it's not like I'm doing like the heaviest weights I can. It's like just being able to do slow movements with intentionality and just chill. It made it so much easier for me to like hear myself and be like, do I feel safe? Am I giving my body what it needs versus just ticking off all these boxes of what's expected?
All right. So just because if I don't understand it, I know some of our listeners probably aren't.
Yeah.
When you say you didn't feel safe or you was always at like a stressful level with your body, is it because of the places you were at or what kind of, I don't understand that too much.
So this is like a big thing with, especially with women and it's, and then the self-care arena, a lot of women you'll hear about like holding on to body fat and it's like impossible to lose weight. You'll do all the things to lose weight. And on a subconscious level, unless you figure out your subconscious stuff, on a subconscious level, you'll not feel safe in your body. So your body will automatically hold on to weight because it's a protective mechanism, right? Okay. Like maybe people won't hit on you or because you don't feel safe, like with around men or, you know, whatever the reasons are, because it will happen to like rape victims, people that have had traumatic responses, that they'll hold on to weight and it's like they're really resistant to losing it. But on a subconscious level, it's because it's protective, because if I have this body fat on me, then someone won't hit on me and I may not get hurt or injured. And for me, I know it was because I was traveling a ton and I was never able to just chill. Like I would come to California, I'd work to death. Then I would get on a plane, go to Nashville. And I was like, I started realizing I would go to Nashville. I'd see all my friends. I'd have to do all the things, do the most. And then I'd run to the next thing. And there was no like me hearing myself. Plus, you know, with traveling, like you travel a ton, you're eating weird food, your sleep schedule is all messed up. There's radiation on planes. So you're also absorbing radiation as you're on these planes. Like it's not comfortable to be on a plane, no matter how small you are, like planes are not comfortable, you know? So I just was realizing that I really wasn't feeling safe with my schedule. Like I wasn't feeling safe with myself. Like I'd created this whole thing and was justifying like, well, I got to do all this stuff. And it's, sometimes we don't have to do all of it. And when you sit back and you can be quiet enough, you can figure out, I love this, but I love this other thing more than that. And I'm going to get rid of this, you know? So just because you're doing, like I was doing all the HIIT workouts, I was doing all the boxing, I was burning all the calories, looking at it and hyper analyzing it. I was just realizing that it didn't have anything to do with that. It had to do with my mindset and that I wasn't feeling safe. Like I wasn't, like this wasn't serving me anymore. Like traveling this much, living in two places, it's a lot to balance.
What was like the deciding factor or what was the straw that broke the camel's back that made you want to do something different?
You know, my lease was up in Nashville and I was like, you know, I don't want to live in this apartment complex anymore. And I really have the intentionality that I want to get married and have kids. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll come back to Nashville and I'll settle down. But before then I'm going to go to Thailand and I bought a one-way ticket to Thailand. No plan other than the first 3 days. I knew where my hotel was. And I just was like, I'm just going to let myself just figure out what's going on. And I went with the intention of writing a book. So Yeah. So from there, I just was in this like very open receiving, like, okay, God, like whatever you want to do, wherever you want to lead me, like I am here. And through that, I ended up traveling for 5 weeks. I went to 4 different countries. I met this like really dope dude along the way. I met a ton of dope people along the way and like travel buddies and went on all these different experiences. But it was like in the quietness of, I'm in a totally different time zone. No one can talk to me. Like my phone doesn't even work, like unless I have Wi-Fi, because I wasn't gonna have data. So when you're like completely off the grid and then you're busy just doing other stuff, I was able to have that stillness of being able to hear myself. And I was like, you know what? Nashville isn't serving me. Like, why am I going to go move back to Nashville to go find a man to settle down? Like, I love this life. Like, I'm going to meet someone doing this. Like, I'm going to meet someone doing something I like doing. And so, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but it was just being still enough to hear really what I actually really wanted. Like,
well, I'm big into, there's a quote I like from, you probably never seen it. There's a movie I love called Lonesome Dove. It's my favorite movie, book, everything of all time. And there's a quote in it that says that if you want something too bad, when you get it, it's bound to be a disappointment. Mm-hmm. Then, and I always like say, hey, if you think you're the favorite, your favorite restaurant, your favorite dish there, and you build it up in your head to where I can't wait till the next time I go back and eat this. When you go the next time, sometimes it's not as good as you've built it up in your head, but that doesn't mean that it's bad. And a lot of us overthink happiness. We think that, hey, we've got to have the husband and wife. We've got to have the kids. We've got to live on this little country ass place in the middle of nowhere. But in reality, you don't really know what your fucking real happiness is, or you'd already be in it. Like sometimes you just got to exist until you find your true happiness. And that's why when you said a while ago, like, hey, I was thinking about coming back to Nashville after this and settling down, my first question was, did you already have a dude that you were looking forward to getting back to? And I guess you just probably had it in your head that the idea of being here and being happy is what your happiness was until you travel to Thailand. And you're like, oh, no, I love this. I love just being able to go and being able to meet new people and have new experiences.
Yeah, I mean, so my whole story is like, I was a crazy partier before my dad died. And then my dad unexpectedly died. I completely changed my life. Like,
how long ago was that, if you don't mind me asking? And my condolences, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It was the December before COVID. So if he had just died during COVID, they probably would have said it was COVID. So I had never traveled the world. I'd never done anything. I was a crazy partier. I had nothing to show for it. I was broke. I mean, just like a degenerate, like just a cokehead drinker.
Pretty much me now. Yeah.
No, I mean, you're doing significantly better than I was doing.
Still
if that is you.
Still a degenerate bastard. Yeah. But.
So yeah, so I literally just on the anniversary of his death, I went to Bali for a month by myself. I'd never traveled ever. Yeah. And so I went to Bali for a month. And so that's kind of why I went to Thailand, because I was like, I needed to get away and out of America. And so, yeah, I just like thought like the American dream is you're supposed to settle down and have a family and like the white picket fence. And then that is not my dream. That does not make
me
happy.
It's not realistic to anybody.
It just seems like exhausting. And then when you're in these other countries, everyone takes their kids everywhere. So there's like families with like babies everywhere. I'm like, Americans don't do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Like,
I've never
like,
been
I
to
don't want that.
Yeah. I've never been to another country, so I wouldn't know. I'm scared to fly. So like,
really?
Yeah, I got to get over it, dude. I've got
to
go.
And I talked to you about the radiation thing. Yeah. Now I just added one more thing to the fire.
The radiation
of
all the things. The radiation of all the things I'm scared of on a plane is absolutely, I don't care about the radiation. I've probably done stupider shit to my body. Yeah, I'm scared to death of it. I don't like being out of control. Like, I like to be in control of whatever I'm doing. And I'm just scared to death of the crash. And I know it's not going to happen, but fuck, I just feel like it would be so ironic that I've been scared of it my whole life and had to give up jobs as far as the show goes, people paying me to come places because it's like I'm not driving 20 hours. We've been invited to do a lot of shit in Texas and probably in Vegas mostly. And I'm scared to death to fucking do it, dude.
I mean, I don't condone this, but like it's just maybe a suggestion. Do you take edibles? Why don't you just
Dude,
edible yourself up and
yeah.
just get on the
Well,
plane?
if I do the right ones, I'll be fine. It's just my problem with edibles. And I was gonna ask you about this, about your
I was gonna be
trips.
like, why don't you just
Yeah,
comatose
I'm
yourself?
gonna have to
Like,
dope myself up. There's no doubt about that. While you were on like your trips and kind of stuff, because I'm a big mushroom guy, but like microdosing for like the mental health reasons of it, not tripping balls or anything.
You
Like,
don't want to
I think I'm gonna run into him when I'm supposed to. I'm not trying to meet him before. I want to do a psilocybin trip and a ayahuasca trip one day, but I want it to be like the medical shit, not just some dude named John who I buy some from. I want it to be like the real professional style. I have nothing against
like
doing
in
it.
like Peru?
I got a buddy from Nashville. Her name's Whitney Miller, and she has done ayahuasca somewhere, and I thought it was Thailand, what she told us like 17 times now. And she says it's just the best thing on the fucking planet. And that's what I was wondering about, like your trips and stuff. And you just mentioned
Oh, do I
edibles.
do? Yeah.
I didn't know like if it was stuff that was around you or if it's something that they promote or anything with the meditation and all that kind of stuff you were talking about a while
Oh,
ago.
well, yeah. Well, I am definitely in that woo-woo community.
Yeah.
So it is everywhere. So I've never done ayahuasca. I was thinking about doing DMT
Yeah.
because and on it, ironically, I've never run into anyone really anywhere else with DMT except in Nashville. And it was like the most random dude that I'm like, you don't strike me as someone that would be really into, seeing the fifth dimension
Yeah.
when you're at Barstool every night. But
Yeah,
okay.
no shit.
I honestly think that anything like mushrooms are everywhere.
Yeah.
I have like a whole refrigerator full of mushrooms. I think that there's seasons for a lot of these things that can help you if you're looking at it from a health perspective of like wanting to go deeper. And like I used to love like taking a ton of mushrooms and then sitting in my house and doing a guided meditation. Like
Oh,
that was like my favorite thing ever.
that
I'd
sounds
go on.
amazing to me.
Yeah, it was awesome. I just like lay on my floor and I do a guided meditation. I'd be like, God, take me wherever you want to take me. And I'd have these like powerful experiences and I'd journal and I felt so cathartic and great afterwards. But then, I mean, sometimes that just doesn't serve people,
Yeah.
and it's okay. And ayahuasca, I think that you really have to be called to go on that journey with
Yeah.
ayahuasca. And because at the end of, or with anything, like you got to be called to do it. Because if you're uncomfortable, I think you should lean into fear. I really do believe in like leaning into fear because on the other side of fear is success and you're able to accomplish it and you build confidence. But when it comes to psychedelics, I don't really think that that's like a really good,
Yeah,
don't take that advice.
you can't be scared. You can't go
No.
into it. So I get a lot of stuff from Canada, from a company that sends stuff to the show because they've heard me talking about it.
Oh,
And
dope.
I really like the psilocybin pills, but I like
Yeah, like
doing
the
it.
microdosing pills. Like
Yeah,
my friends have
I
their
love them.
anxiety's gone
Yeah.
away. Like they stopped drinking, like
Yeah.
so many positive things.
It is the best. I have severe depression. Like, I'm a suicide survivor from like 14 years ago. And I have severe depression and mood swings sometimes. And over the past 2 years, probably 2 years now, that I've started microdosing. My depression's damn near gone. My anxiety's damn near gone. Like, I have a better understanding of myself. We had a 2 year anniversary party at our studio, Raising Grace Studios. And we had a band there. We had a lot of people there, all this kind of shit. And I decided to take a little bit more than what I normally take that night. And I had the realization that night. I went outside while the party was going on, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, you don't have to be the center of attention anymore, dude. Like, you don't have to be in here doing what anybody else wants you to do. If you want to sit on your tailgate and listen to music, you can be just as happy. Like, you don't have to be part of the party to be the party anymore. And ever since then, like, my mindset on so much shit, like, we were on like episode 520 or something of the show, somewhere around there. And I'll guarantee you, until that happened at our 2-year anniversary, which would probably be like 250, 300 shows, I probably was drinking at every single show because I thought that's what the listener wanted. I thought that's what the guest mm-hmm. wanted. I thought they wanted the wild side of me, the side that you don't know what the fuck I'm going to say or what I'm going to do or anything like that. And people like that, but that's not why they were listening. They were just listening mm-hmm. because they liked me. And the guests would come on because they liked me. So after that, like, there probably hasn't been 50 shows, probably hasn't been 20. They're like, I've been drunk or I've been drinking while doing the show. And the numbers of the show have just went up and up and up to where, like, I wouldn't have thought that, though. I had to get over the fear of people not liking mm-hmm. me sober. Yeah, that, dude, I'm telling you, that shit works
huge.
So good. Yeah.
And honestly, that's because most likely all of that happened because your energy was increasing. You know, yeah. Like your vibration is increasing on your energy because alcohol is a depressant. Like I haven't drank yeah. in years. I do like the taste of tequila. So like I can't, I love it. Ooh. I love nice tequila. Like mm-hmm. I love how it tastes, but I don't like how it makes you feel. So I can't say that I'm sober because if you gave me like a small shot glass of tequila, like nice tequila, I'd sip yeah. it. So I'm not sober. But there's a huge movement of people that don't drink. Like I'm basically completely sober because I don't smoke weed. I don't really do mushrooms anymore. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's a phase in everyone's life of where, you know, things serve you and then they no longer serve you anymore, well, you know? And I think that's huge that, you know, even having that realization, because so many people feel insecure to not drink because of what someone else is like, oh, well, I'm different.
Yeah.
But it's like, but you're awesome who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like you understand what I try to tell people all the time. Some people hit a wall where they're using, whether it's alcohol or whatever. They hit a wall.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Like, oh, I think I have to stop now before I become an addict or whatever. And then I think there are some people that hit a wall, and it's because you've done all that you needed to do, and you understand that, like, you've had the fun, you've been the wild child. It's not necessarily that you want to get sober, but it's okay, now I'm on to the next chapter of my life, to where with you traveling or whatever, with me writing music, everything is like, hey, I'm on to that next part. This was fun. This gave me what I needed. This was a great couple chapters in my life. Mm-hmm. And some of it not so good, but most of it pretty good. But now I'm on to the next chapter. And I don't have to be where I'm drunk all the time or I'm always going to do things. For me, it literally was where I realized after about a month or so of not drinking every day or every other day, it's like, one, I feel so much damn better. Two, mm-hmm. I'm saving so much money because my bar tabs mm-hmm. are not cheap. I'm not casually drinking. If I go out with me and my buddies, we're getting plowed. Three, mm-hmm. is you realize, like, you just don't need it to be happy. And anybody mm-hmm. that makes you feel like it is, they're part of the problem. Like, they're the ones that are going to have a problem one day, to where you're like, hey, whether it's spirituality or whatever, it's like, I got all I needed. Now I can move on. And I like when people get that. And that sounds like with you, to where you still like tequila. I still like to drink, but I only save it for occasions now, to where, like, I'm going on vacation or going to Nashville to work. Stuff I had to wear back in the day, I was looking for a reason to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of me just being a normal, functioning human being, I'd be like, damn, I ain't got nothing to do. It's Tuesday night. Let's go play poker and get drunk. Like, and I quit looking for reasons. And you feel so much better. And life's way better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a whole movement now. I interviewed this group called Sip Study on my podcast, and they are a PR firm for all non-alcoholic beverages. But one of the girls is sober and she just absolutely doesn't drink. And the other one is a mindful drinker. And I think that that is a huge movement, to be mindful, like intentionality. And we should be intentional about every area of our life. Yeah. Like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I having this cocktail? And maybe you can just have one, or maybe it's only half of one, because tomorrow, you know, you want to wake up and you have maybe a yoga thing you want to do. Or, I mean, you probably have people in the South. So like hunting, like you want to be on your A game to go hunting and be present with your friends and family. Then you just have one, you know, or maybe you don't have any. But it's like being mindful and intentional about not just like what's going to happen in the next hour, but like, what do I want to do for the next day or 24 hours? What does that look like? And it's like, does this serve me? No. So I'm not going to do it. You know,
I've never heard it called mindful drinking before. I love that. I really
yeah,
do. I like
better.
That term a lot.
Yeah, that you're a mindful drinker. It's not that you're sober. It's not that you're absolutely non-negotiable, like not drinking. It's that you're being mindful, intentional about it. Like so much more powerful, right? It gives you your power back.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm big on is like regaining your power on any situation. Mm-hmm. And the way that you just said that is cool as shit to me. Like, I've never thought of it being that way. And I guess some of us already do it. But I've never had a term for it, because drinking responsibly, the old Budweiser ad and all that kind of shit, it doesn't really work.
That just sounds like just don't drink and drive.
Yeah, that's like, really it. Not take 8 shots of tequila and call your ex-girlfriend. Like, it's mindful drinking. Just, I think that's probably what I'm going to call the name of this episode now. But that's cool to me. And I like the fact that you're big into, and we haven't really covered this, but I can tell you're big into self-discovery. And all that kind of stuff and self-value. And that's what I've really over the past couple of years got more into, that understanding myself better, understanding what works for me, what doesn't, and being kind of unapologetic about it. And that's kind of the way you are, dude. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do share a lot of the same story, because you're a suicide survivor. I'm a suicide survivor. So I tried to crash my car into a wall when I was a meth addict for a really long time, from like 17 to 23.
Well, congratulations on not
being
there. I'm so glad you're still with us.
Yeah, thank you. Same with you. But I share the same thing of like, I think that was the hardest thing to get over, is when you're very depressed. Like, getting over drugs is not as hard as trying to get over depression, you know, like your brain and that constant thing of you're not feeling worthy or, you know, and so looking at why, that's why looking at intentionality of why you're doing something, like mindful drinking in the sense of like, am I doing, or even eating or whatever you're doing, your actions are, is like, why am I doing this? Why am I spending this money? Is it because I feel like yucky right now? Like being, and it's okay to do it and spend that money when you're feeling yucky, but knowing why, instead of just being like, you know, just absentmindedly just drinking. And it's like, really, you were really sad, and it's okay to be sad, you know, like, but it's better for you to own it and see it, because then you can grow from it and you could heal, versus just numbing it out with whatever it is. So being intentional and looking at like, why is it that I'm doing this? Like, you know, like, what is it that I'm feeling, and to honor those feelings, but then do something positive with it.
Yeah, I think it's always healthy to realize that you're the problem in your story.
Like, always. We're always our own victim. Like, we are the problem.
Yeah, but the healthy thing about that to me is, like, if you realize that you're the problem, then you actually can fix it. When you think everybody else is the problem and they're the reason why you are the way you are, you're never going to get out of that victim mindset. But when you realize, like, hey, I could be doing better, and I'm the ones that's causing pain. I'm the one that's causing the hangovers. I'm the one that's causing all this bad shit to happen in my life. I guess always where you can fix that.
Exactly. And then you take your power back. Like, we are all master manifestors. Like, every single one of us. Look at your life. You literally spoke that into existence. Like, and if you don't like it, and like, this is the power, like, look at all the shitty things that you've manifested in your life. Like, that's how powerful you are, that you can create the complete opposite of the positive, you know? So if you need proof and evidence that you are a master manifester, look at everything, like every single word, every single thought. You create your life. So you can either create heaven or hell on earth for yourself. And it's like, I choose to create heaven on earth for myself, because when I create heaven on earth for myself, that means I create heaven on earth for other people, because broken people hurt people. So when you're broken and you're an asshole, guess what? You're going to be an asshole to the next person. They're going to be like, this guy was a dick to me. They're going to be an asshole to the next person. It's like, well, if we own our space and go, I want to create heaven on earth. I want to create peace in myself. My utmost priority is my peace, which means my peace will transcend into producing peace for other people. That's huge. Like, that's power to really change the world and like own our space and be just such a powerful influence. Like, your ratings probably went up because you stopped drinking, because your energy just rose. And then people could feel that in a, on a subconscious level.
Well, I think that really the ratings rose just for the simple fact to where I started, like, there's certain things that me and you have got to experience that a lot of people don't. So, like, you used to be a celebrity hairdresser. You got to be around people and go places that most folks don't ever get to. But how you describe those things and how you talk about those things is such a fine line in being proud of it and showing off. And I think with my drinking, well, we would have guests on and everything, I think every once in a while, I would forget there was a listener. I would forget that there was somebody that I was trying to entertain, to where, like, I would get lost in a conversation with a guest and just stop what I should be doing. And I think our ratings kind of went up and have continued to, because, like, I'm paying more attention to you. Like, I'm not just making it about me. Like, with a good podcast, it's supposed to be a good conversation. It's not just supposed to be because you've got great numbers on social media or somebody else has great numbers. Like, you're supposed to look for people that have a different mindset, to where they're going to hear a different topic. They're going to hear a different point of view. And I kind of got stuck in the groove to where I'm going to have my buddies on here. We're going to talk about country music. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about drinking. We're going to tell some stupid fucking jokes. And I got past the point to where, like, when we set up the show, it is where our original title of the show was Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. But I wanted it to be where we didn't talk about those things, but if they came up, it was okay. I wanted it to be a safe place for whatever. If you were somebody that was transitioning, if you were a Democrat, if you were a Republican, if you were a liberal, if you were an atheist, if you were whoever, I wanted it to be where I could have an adult conversation with you and you felt comfortable regardless. But we quickly had to get rid of that title because it was fucking confusing. And every artist or whoever we tried to have on the show would be like, I don't want to talk about politics or religion. And I got so tired of explaining it to everybody. I was like, fuck it. We're just going to call it after my name. But like, when I started actually paying attention more to the guest and letting them open up and do more of the talking, I think that's what really helped out.
You know, I want to go back to, like, yes, we've had experiences that other people haven't had, but I really want to talk into that these experiences that you and I have had, they're not just like we're lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every single person, if whatever you fucking dream, I believe that you can attain it, because it would be cruel for God to give you a dream that you weren't able to attain.
Like, well, realistically,
each one of us.
Realistically.
Yeah, no, I believe that you can do powerful things, like amazing things can happen, and they don't, miracles happen.
Yeah,
and
but
those
you,
aren't
yeah, but like
describable.
For me, I'm not saying miracles don't happen, because I believe God performs miracles every day. If you don't believe in God, then the universe performs miracles every day, however the hell you want to put it. But I got to know realistically, I'm not ever going to be Chris Stapleton. I'm not ever going to be a brain surgeon. I'm not ever going to be any of those things, but I can be complementary pieces to it. A lot of people want to say, especially in music or comedy or whatever, they want to say, oh, if I'm not the top dog, then I haven't made it. And that's not the case. You could be a writer for either one of those things. But the rest of what you're talking about, like manifesting, I get it. But also, if you set unrealistic expectations for yourself, you're always going to be miserable, in my mind.
Well, I think that you have to set expectations that you actually believe in.
Yeah.
You know, so I do wealth and abundance coaching, right? So I help people with their scarcity around money and like really being able to be clear on their dreams and their desires. So you have to have tangible, attainable goals. So if you're like, I'm going to make $1 million this month, and you're making $2,000, yeah, your brain won't even be, I believe you can do it, but your brain won't fucking believe you can do it. So you got to make it. Yeah. So like you got to do a baby step goal. Like maybe it's 5K. And then when you, because I believe you can do whatever you believe. I believe you can do everything.
Yeah.
But you have to have attainable goals. Like if I'm going to say that I'm going to all of a sudden, you know, in the next 2 weeks, look like Angelina Jolie, that's not necessarily.
You kind of do.
Oh, well, thank you. But yeah, like, you but I'm saying like you have to have a goal that is like you have to do the baby step goals, because if you make the goal so fucking big, it's so your brain can't even comprehend that it's going to get there, and then you're just going to give up. So it's like I always say, like if you want to start going to the gym every day, go for just go for the first week and just go for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I just want you to get there. I'm not saying you got to sit there for 2 hours.
Yeah,
I just want you to get there for 5 minutes, and then the next week go for 10, and then the next week go for 15. You know, like make it an attainable goal that you can actually do, because you build confidence that way.
Yeah.
If you make it too big, you're not going to have the confidence, because you're like, well, I can't do this, and you just give up.
Well, yeah, like,
let's but like a brain surgeon, is that like really what you wanted to do? No,
absolutely not. I'd rather be a lawyer. I like arguing and shit. But still, I can't do that. I couldn't go back to school and do that. But what you're saying though, to kind of dive a little bit more deeper, is too many people miss like their little victories because they're too focused on like winning the battle or winning the war.
100%.
So like what you're talking about is like if you got a game plan, it's from A to Z. You got to be grateful every time you hit B, C, D, everything along the way. Mm-hmm. And you can't just constantly be looking at Z. Like, you can't. And dude, like, if they go to the gym for 2 months and they don't look like The Rock, they're like, I don't want to do this shit no more. But it's like, you look better. You look healthier than you did. Why are you trying to? Rome wasn't built in a day, as cliche as it is. Mm-hmm. Like anything that we do, we have to enjoy the little victories, the daily victories, the things that let you know you're moving in the right direction. And too many 100%. People just overlook that shit because they're not where they want to be.
Or they sell. And this is the other thing. Celebrate them. Oh, I don't think there is. And I, you know, being humble, fuck that. Celebrate your wins. Yeah. Like celebrate them, because we ruminate on our failures for weeks. And we'll have wins and we skip right over them. Yep. And it's like, celebrate those fucking wins. Celebrate every single thing. Even if it's small, go out to dinner, like make it an event, invite your friends, like make people a part of that, because you build that community where then you're able to celebrate your friends' wins. And you have this amazing, powerful group of people around you where you're celebrating each other. And then when those failures come, you're like, what? I learned something. Let's move on to the next win. Yep. Versus it being, as a society, we've allowed that we just, well, they messed that up. It's like, well, we overlooked how many positive things they did.
100%.
So like, let's celebrate that. Like, let's live in that moment, because these things are not easy. Yeah. You know, like showing up for yourself is hard. And it's very counterculture to how we've been raised.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, there's so many people that lack confidence. If you do exactly what you're talking about and you celebrate those little victories, and I do think that being humble to a point you need to be, but for the majority of it, if you're too humble, you'll start second guessing yourself and you'll start to like break down your confidence. If you do celebrate all those little wins, it's going to build your confidence up, and it's not being cocky. It's not being arrogant. It's not being humble. It's just building more confidence in yourself to where you feel like you can take the next step.
Yeah. And it's so encouraging to be around people like that. Like, I am so inspired when I hear people that are like, I sold this course and I made $100,000. I'm like, that's fucking dope. Let's go. Like, that's so encouraging. I don't think that there's anything wrong with, I don't feel like it's a flex. Like, it's the energy behind why you're doing it versus like, if you're sharing it because you just want to flex on someone, well, that's being arrogant and gross, right? Yeah. But if you're doing it and that's inspiring and encouraging someone else, that's amazing. Like, people want to be around that, because it's like, well, that person can do it, I can do it too. And that's why it's like, I always say, I will gladly embarrass myself and overshare if it helps someone not feel alone.
Absolutely.
You know, like, because you can overcome all these things. And it's like, I want to be a part of that story. Like, that's a fun story to be around. Like, because once that person reaches $100,000, they're going to do $200,000. It's like, well, I could do that too. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. I had to get over for the longest time. So our management company and shit has been trying forever to get me to start sending out like the official invite that I sent you. And I've sent some other guests that we've got coming on soon. Cause I was like, you know what this looks like? This is the toolish fucking, I don't want to send this out. I don't like talking about me. I don't like whatever. Like, I don't like anybody being like, oh, whatever. I had to get over that because it's like, hey, look, sometimes you have to brag on yourself a little bit to be in a better circle. You have to show your worth to other people to be in a better circle, to keep growing. Otherwise, the people that already know you are going to be the only ones that know you. The people that you already work with are going to be the only ones that work with you. You have to sometimes, but you got to do it in the right way. How you were just talking about, to where you literally got to see what I've got going on without me coming off like a tool, like without coming off like a douche. And if you don't, you're stuck right where you're at, dude.
Well, also, it's none of your business, like, really how anyone interprets you. Like, for me, if someone wants to be like whatever they want to say about me, that's none of my business, because that's not a reflection on me. That's more a reflection on them and their internal stuff. Even when it comes down, like, let's talk about drinking. People will want to encourage you to drink, or they'll be like, talk shit on you because you don't drink. Well, that's more of a reflection on what's internally going on inside them than it is on me.
Yeah.
Like, that's their problem with alcohol. Like, that's their problem with, you know, your success. Because some people are really uncomfortable with other people's stuff. And you know what? I feel like it's a blessing when that comes out, because it's like, well, I don't want to surround myself with people that don't want to celebrate the wins.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, you want people on your team, because I want to be on other people's teams and I want to celebrate their wins.
Yeah.
And I want them to be stoked on mine. So I have created a really great, like, female group of friends that's what we do. And people that aren't a part of that, I don't have the energy for it, you know? So celebrate, like, be who you are. And I always look at it as a blessing when it's like, okay, then I don't fuck with you. Like,
yeah, I'm big on the not fucking with you. Like, I've got my cutoff game, or whatever the hell you want to call it now, what kids call it to make it sound cool. I just get to the point to where, like, if you're not helping me, if you're not helping me mentally, if you're not part of my success, if you're not part of my peace, if you're not part of the next step for me, like, I don't really feel the need to have you around anymore. And that's hurt me a lot, because, like, there's a lot of people where I'm from I love to death. I would do anything in the world for. But when you outgrowing people that you love is a thing, outgrowing situations that you love is a thing, you owe it to yourself to make yourself happy. And if any of that stuff is taken away from you, dude, you got to let it go. You got to realize, like, this isn't just not the place for you anymore.
Well, we are the average of the company we keep. And that means we're the average of their bank account. We're the average of their health. We're the average of everything. So being really clear on that, like, that who do you want to be surround yourself with, and how are they living their life, and what does your life look like, and like the life that you want to live?
Yeah.
Do you want to pair up with that? So if you're just hanging around negative people that are complaining all the time, well, you're going to be the next negative person. But if you're around people that are like, let's talk about, like, how can we level up? Like, what's the next step? That's dope. That energy, like, really moves you forward and moves your life forward.
Yes, ma'am. You know what? You are too damn cool. I already knew, like, this is going to be a good show, but your mindset on shit, like, I can't wait to kind of keep up with you and see what the future has in store for you. There's not many people that have your outlook. There's not many people that just have even the stuff you talk about, you're passionate about. Like, I imagine you help a lot of people. Spotify better give you your fucking show back, because you're good at this, and you can still, like, you make a difference in people's lives, I'm sure.
Oh, thanks. I try. I mean, I do. I really do try. So thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. I'm going to, like, cry.
That's okay. I try to make people cry on here, good. But, like, there's a certain people. There are certain people that I don't believe that certain folks are put in situations as a mistake. I always like to say you're not always where you want to be, but you're always where God wants you to be. And you don't know why you're there until you get through it. And then you absolutely understand. I always say you don't ever understand why you're hurting and why you're in pain until you're on the other side of pain. And then it makes sense. And with you, I know you've been through a lot from just what we've talked about now, but it seems like you've took all that pain and turned it into your purpose. And I got like a mad respect for that. I wish more people did that shit.
Well, I mean, you can be really blessed through something that you can never consider a blessing. You know, it's all about perspective, and that, and it's hard, and it's a bitter pill to swallow, especially when you have to be proactive and realize that we can create being a victim in our own lives, or we can be empowered and take our power back. So, I mean, through everything I've gone through, I could have been a victim and just went off the rails. And that's what most people thought I would do. And instead, it completely changed my life and became a totally different person than I could ever have expected to be. And I am proud of myself for it. But also, I really chose to not be a victim anymore. Yeah. I chose to take ownership of my life and, you know, and look at everything as like, even though this stuff really hurts, I know I can be blessed on the other side of it. And when you change that perspective, you're able to see things and be grateful. And when you're in a in an energy of being grateful, you're in a frequency of being able to receive blessings.
Yeah.
Because you can see them. But if you shut that off, you'll never see the blessings and the miracles happening in your life because you're just a victim and everything is bad. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm on the big side of, and I know this is fucked up most of the time when I say this, but like even the worst moments of your life, I think could probably be your purpose. We've had
100%.
We've had women on this show that unfortunately have been molested or raped, and then they went on to be the crusaders to help women stop and be there and be their support system. You know, I always like to say, and I know I said that a while ago, pain is purpose, but a lot of us are looking for our purpose in life, and I believe that our purpose is ourselves. It's everything that's led up to the moment of confusion where you don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be doing whatever has led to that moment, whatever life. I used to be scared to death to talk about my suicide, and now it's not taboo for me anymore. And I know that it's helped people from people saying something to me. And the more that I dive into, hey, I'm not only here for a reason. Everything that's happened to me has happened for a reason, and I need to be exploiting those reasons instead of letting them exploit me. You either control your demons or they control you. And the sooner you figure out you can control what has happened to you, not what's going to happen to you, but if you have the positive perspective on that, you can make a difference in not only your life, but a lot of people's, and you're already doing that. And I if I could stand up and applaud you right now, I probably would.
Thanks. I mean, Brené Brown always talks about shame. You know, when we are ashamed of something, we hide it and we keep it in the dark. Well, that has power over us.
Yeah.
And it's when we start sharing those things that are shameful, nothing shameful. We're all having this human experience. We've all had very similar experiences. We all share in that. And so when we're able to share those things that are, you know, quote unquote, shameful, we release the power they have over us and we bring them into the light. And that's where we are able to be authentic and connect with people because everyone has had the same relative experience. And so it just helps people not be alone and it helps us not feel alone anymore because it's not something that we're keeping secret. There's nothing in our lives that we need to be ashamed of.
Absolutely, dude. You better get your podcast back. If not, I'm going to get our management team to message somebody over at Spotify and be like, hey, don't take this from this girl. This girl's killing it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm writing a book. So the next step is a New York Times bestseller.
Well, you let me know because we've already had one bestseller on here. So you get done writing that. We'll help you plug the shit out
of it. It's already going to happen.
Let's do it.
We're master manifestors. Well, it's happening. It's already done.
Well, as soon as you get done writing the son of a bitch and it goes out in publication, you let me know and we'll get you back on the show.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, anytime, darling. Drop your socials one more time and we'll get the hell out of here.
Okay. My socials are Cassie, CASIEE Conway. So you can find me on TikTok or Instagram. And I'm very open in the DM. So unless you're creepy, then we don't answer.
Yeah,
those,
you should definitely include that last part right there. Because there's probably some creepy bastards. Leave her alone, you sick fucks. Don't mess with this one's cool. This one's a good one. Don't mess with this one. But thank you for coming to hang out for a little bit. We appreciate it so much.
And I appreciate it.
Anytime.
This is amazing. Anytime
you want to do another one, you let me know.
Yeah. Thank you for being open and vulnerable. You're helping a lot of people. You know that, though.
Well, thank you. Same to you. That's why I think I appreciate you and respect you even more than I thought I was going to.
Oh, thank you.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just some people, they surprise me sometimes. Like, some people are more than you expected them to be. And I don't mean that you expected them to be a piece of shit. It's just all you ever see from social media. And by the way, we're still recording this. All you ever see on social media is just what they let you see. When every once in a while somebody peels back a layer and you get to see a little bit more, or you get to hear them word it different, or whatever, or you get to see their point of view and where they're coming from, and all of a sudden you have a better understanding of them and you identify with them. And then once you identify with them, you're literally a fan for life. I don't like the word fan. And I don't like the word follower. Like, you want to be close to them. You want to be a family member and keep up with them on social media, not in weird ways. But, like, they mean something to you. And I could imagine the more you're open and honest, the more you probably mean something to people. And not that we don't get that on the show a good bit, but just your outlook. It's crazy. If you go back and listen to the show we did last week with Chad Prather, big talk show host and all this kind of shit. He's a really funny dude. But we talked about people playing the victim. And it's just how it's just beat people down and they don't know another way how to be different or anything like that, or why they should be different. And so much of what you just said a while ago and throughout the whole show, it shows people why they shouldn't be the victim, why they should want to be the hero of their story instead. And you just don't find that every day.
Well, it's exhausting being the victim. Absolutely. I mean, it's exhausting. Like, I would much rather be powerful and, like, try and listen to my intuition than be a victim. It's exhausting to complain all the time. You know, like, I'd much rather be like, fuck this. It doesn't feel good. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, change it up. Yeah, like, do anything. Just change.
I definitely bitch more than what I ought to because I have a pretty good life. But when I am bitching about something, I either leave it alone or I fix the situation. Like, if you're, it's all right to be frustrated or aggravated with something, but do something about it. Don't just complain.
Yeah, there's venting and then there's just sitting in it. Yeah. I heard this quote and it was the best. It's like, when you complain, you're praying for crap.
Ooh.
And when you think about that, you're like, because your words have power.
Yeah.
They direct your energy. They direct your thoughts. So when you think of it that way, you're like, yeah, I don't want more of that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change what that is and change my words into what I do want. And then you go take actionable steps to make it happen. Like, there's space for venting, but then you have to take action.
Absolutely, dude. You're cool. I'm definitely going to be keeping up with you.
Thanks. You're cool. And this turned out so much more fun than I was, like, kind of nervous coming on here. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad that you even said that right there, because, like, there's certain people that I find on social media, I'm like, this will make for a good episode, but they've got to get over my social media pretty much, like the shit I post, the shit I say. I'm a big fan of, I want you to judge me by my cover. I don't like fair weather people. So, like, if you are somebody who fucks with me, a friend to me, whatever, like, I want it to be where you had to dive into me to understand who I am, the way I think, all this other stuff. And for some people, especially women, it takes a little bit longer sometimes to realize, like, this dude isn't a piece of shit. But when they do, like, it usually goes from, oh, this guy could be like my fucking best dude friend, like shit like that. And that's where the show gets really good. Like, if you go back and listen to the show, or anybody that's going to listen to it, if you go to the first 10 to 20 minutes of the show, you're like, this is kind of stagnant. This is not what it ended up being. But the rest of it, the next hour of it, is what is really good. And without people, like, getting over that nervous shit, like, it's never a good episode. And you got over it pretty quick. And you did a great job, dude. Like, it was really good. I enjoyed this one a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Well, honestly, like, when I looked at your social, I mean, my social media looks not great either. I mean, I just have, like, bikini pictures. Yeah, let's be real.
It's okay. Like, who does it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, like, kind of generic. But I mean, thank you for just like helping to remind me that I do have a story to share and that I should share it more. But also you're a girl dad. Like I was like, he's a girl dad. So like, he's not going to be a bad dude. Like, I mean, you're a girl dad. Like, and you post and you're proud to be a girl dad.
Oh, absolutely. I love my dog.
Yeah. But I mean, there's certain, like, if you weren't a girl dad, like, maybe that would be a little more apprehensive, you know? But
no, I even get it. So, I get it. I get it.
But I mean, our social media just, like, I mean, I think that if anything, the takeaway is like, our social media does have a huge impact on us and like how we're presented to the world. So it's like,
well, you,
I'm working on being better at it. Like,
well, you're doing a great job. You know, keep posting the, you know, the self-help stuff. But the bikini pics, you don't have to necessarily stop those either. I mean, it's, everybody already posts those anyway. They're nice to look at. So, but like I tell a lot of the people that do this show, though, you're way more than those bikini pictures. You're way more than what you post on social media. And if people don't take the time to get to know you, they're missing out on the real you. And that's a them problem, not a you problem.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's the same for you.
Thank you, man. Well, well, I'll let you get out of here. I very much appreciate you hanging out with us for
a little bit. Did your song go number one?
That's why I smiled so big a while ago. I don't know if you saw it with these fucking horse teeth that I got. But I saw where somebody had sent me something on one chart, and I have no idea what it is. It's number one. It just went over Beyonce. But I don't know. I don't know on iTunes yet. iTunes is sitting at 2 in country and 4 across every genre. And I'm a big Teddy Swims fan. If we jump Teddy Swims, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
My ex-boyfriend is buddies with Teddy Swims.
Of course. you look like you got boyfriends that are friends with Teddy Swims. I mean, that is a compliment.
Yeah.
But
I never got to meet him. Well, I mean, he's an ex-boyfriend, so.
Well, then he sounds like a piece of shit to me.
He sucks. No, I'm just kidding. He's great. No. He's a great guy.
Okay. Well, he didn't introduce you to Teddy Swims. He ain't that great. That would have been the deciding factor for me if he was a good boyfriend or not.
I know. He did introduce me to Jelly Roll, though.
Oh, that's cool.
A couple of times.
Jelly's a really good dude. He's an extremely good dude. So, but thank you. Hey, let's do this again. Let's wait a month and do it again.
Yeah, next. Let's talk about it. I mean, I literally am like working on my book every day now. Yeah. And so they said that I need to have between 30 and 60,000 words. Guess how many words I'm at?
How many you got?
11,000.
Hell yeah, girl.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So, as long as they make an audio book of it, I'll damn sure read it when it comes out.
Dude, well, I'm going to be doing the audio for it. So I'm going to do audio and digital. And yeah, I'm going to become a New York Times bestseller.
Hell yeah.
I'll be an author. Look how healthy it's like, so legit.
You're already legit. It's got to get to know you first. You're a legit person.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was wonderful. Thank you so much. And keep reaching out to me.
Anytime. All right, folks. Well, thank each and every one of y'all for all your support. I love y'all. Thank you to each one of our sponsors. Please, if you hear this today, go stream Gone for Good by Will Mosley. I just love each and every one of y'all. Thank y'all for the life I get to live. It's only because of y'all I get the blessings that I get. And I very much appreciate it. I hope all y'all have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.